Hi everybody, and welcome to this new episode of This Week in Testing. It is an episode 85. And in this episode, we are hosting for you. My name is Alexander, and here I have a beautiful co-host.
Hi everyone, I am Demi, and welcome to this week's episode of This Week in Testing. It's very fun because this is episode 85 maybe, but it's also a 404 day because it's the 4th of April. So I absolutely loved that when I saw the date.
Yeah, it's I even didn't think about it that today is a 404 day. Yeah, it's good. So be prepared for something to encounter something like 404 errors in your applications. So it might be the day. So let's start with the news for this week. And before we will start with the news, just a quick reminder that we are recording our sessions, and this is an official Ministry of Testing event. So just do not forget to follow the code of conduct that Ministry of Testing has, and this code of conduct can be found at the ministryoftesting.com website. In the bottom of the page, you can find the link. Yeah, so let's start. What's the most interesting things that we can see in your, for example, in your week, Demi? What's new?
In my week, this week I have been drowning in test data. I have a lot of test data in my applications. We work with massive XML files. I have 20 different XSD schemes to make test data with. So it's a lot. And I think today I taught one of my developers how much work it is to create that test data and make it correct according to all of the validation rules we put in place. So I'm still spending a bit of the test of today. So if I'm a bit out of it, I'm sorry. But yeah, it's been busy.
Yeah. Test data is a beautiful topic because it's the thing that we can't easily, let's say, ask for generating in some external systems or tools, like in most cases. So you need to prepare it by yourself and you need to validate if it is correct or not. And I think we can talk about test data just a little bit later in the session. For the biggest thing that I can remember, so as I understood last week, it was a big conference in Valencia. It's called Selenium Conf. So there were a lot of information about the talks on LinkedIn, a lot of posts, and we had a lot of people who were speakers there and who were also attendees. So if somebody has been attended, somebody who is listening right now in the crowdcast, if you attended the conference, just do not hesitate to share your impressions on what was good, what was even better than good, and what's your opinion on it. Because I've been on offline conference for maybe a few years, so yeah, it was a long time ago.
I have never been to a testing conference. Test Bash will be my first, so if you have any tips on what to do when attending a conference, like, let me know. I would love to hear from you. But I also saw that there was a tester meetup in London, I think even yesterday or something. So if anyone of our listeners went there and would like to share how it was, I think there might be some people here present that went there. I would also love to hear what happened there. I saw that was epic as well, and that there were a lot of attendees, so would love to hear those, definitely.
Yes. So I think the main main thing or main topic for this week in testing will be the conferences. So we have in our chat, I see that we have even some of the speakers from the conferences and meetups. So if you want to share something, you can just raise your hand and we will put you on stage and you can share your thoughts on anything related, not only to the conference itself, but to testing. But I see even multiple people who presented. So yeah, I think we can invite people. So who wants to be on the stage? Just
so if you want to join the stage, like raise up your hand. There should be somewhere a hand button next to the chat somewhere, and then we can see who of you would like to join the stage, and we can bring you up, and you can share your week in testing, whether it is about the conference or something else. Like, we would love to hear anything about your week, really.
Yeah. So, what we have here? Yeah, we are
Alexander
waiting for
time to get people to raise their hands.
yeah. Just we have
someone. It's Christine Pinto. I think she was at the London meetup this week. Yeah, come join us, Christine.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes.
We can hear you, Christine. But your camera is on. It's.
Yeah, you can just.
I'm sorry. I'm trying out the mobile apps for the first time. Sorry. Yeah, so the London meetup yesterday was very awesome. Like the community here, what Gary puts together, and also Praveen, and it was such a amazing vibe and such an amazing situation. My talk was, I think, hit quite well the spot. It was all about how we can shine in your application, in your interviews, in the conversation, all around the why are you hiring a QA right now, from all the interview stages up to also how do you do negotiations. And I enjoyed it a lot talking there. I tried out my new slide deck, and I think everybody knows and everybody saw how much fun I had, because I made for the first time a cooking theme, and it was very, very fun. And also afterwards, I went to my first, I hope I get the photo for this, for my first ever British pub. That was a very interesting experience. Also with Simon, Rosie, Diana, and everyone. It was very awesome. Also, we shared the invite link to our Design Heroes group. So we're now opening up for everybody who wants to be in the next step of our building of our MVP of Epic Test Quest. And yeah, I think 10 people immediately joined, which I'm super happy about. And you two are already part of it. And you have been testing prototypes the last 4 weeks. So that's why I was also a little absent, because my Friday was a lot about coordinating and figuring everything out. So also thanks to you two. And thanks again to the awesome Ministry of Testing community, as always. I enjoy every event, everything. And right now I'm in the pretty, I think it's James Bryan, no, Green Park. I'm in Green Park, close to a Buckingham Palace, to join this week in testing. It's a lot of fun.
Wow. so many interesting participations. And yeah, I don't know whether it will be a video recording from your talk, but we have in chat somebody who said that, yeah, your talk was really, really epic. Yeah, Simon just shared it. So it might be very interesting to watch it as a recording. And yeah, we have also, we had somebody raised his hand. If you can just click the hand button again, and other than that,
see in the chat, Eamon would like to join, apparently. So Eamon, if you still want to join, put something in the chat if you can't raise your hand. Like, that's also an option. We know there is some bugs with Crowdcast, so if you can't find the hand button, or if it isn't working, just put something in the chat and we'll get you here up on stage as well to join the conversation. Let's see, we got someone else that would like to join. Let's see. If we can bring them up. Leandro, I think, is one of the speakers of Selenium Conf. It's also fun to hear. Let's see if we can get him here.
Good.
Hello, hello.
Hi there.
And
I think I'm online.
Sisters are breaking
I got stuck in a train. I was supposed to do this from like a quieter place. I am in Bratislava here reporting in a very busy mall. Sorry for the noise, but wanted to share a little bit of the experience. The conference was awesome. Lots of great presentations and the venue. You should have seen the venue. The views of the sea and everything there was quite amazing. And giving a talk to this for the first time for me to a Selenium audience was also very, very loving, very, very awesome. Really, really loved it. I recommend anyone going to take a chance. And of course, I got a chance to meet Rosie, do an interview with her, and learn a little bit about the history of the Ministry of Testing, which I was fairly surprised.
And what was your the most like memorable talk from this conference, or something that you?
Well, I was busy doing some of the interviews and talking to people, but I got a chance to attend half of Andy Jones' presentation, really interesting, and Almudena Vivancos, who also was, well, she was closer to my heart because she was talking about performance, so I felt a little bit closer to that. Both talks were really, really interesting and very awesome. I loved Almudena's style, of course, on performance, mixing it with superheroes, flashpoint, comic books, and things that were really great presentations.
Good, good. I think that's really nice that, you have attended the conference and had a lot of different and very nice impression on it. So I think these impressions, then you will join the next conference or maybe some other things, some other conferences like Test Bash that will be, I think, in somewhere in the autumn, upcoming autumn.
Got a check scheduled, but we'll be so happy to stay tuned.
Yeah, thanks a lot. You can stay on stage, and we can also invite some other people who wants to share their insights. Thanks a lot, Leandro.
Yeah, take care, everybody. I'll stay around, but such a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, we have in our chat, we have information that we have Joao wants to join. And so
we actually have two people waiting.
Yeah.
Let's start with the first one, and Diego, we will get you on stage as soon as possible. But first, let's hear how our newest guest was. How was your week in testing? Did you? I think I saw that you were also at Selenium Conf.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes.
Yeah, I was also at Selenium Conf speaking. Very, very nice event. I agree with everything that Senor Performo Gil was saying.
His nickname.
Also, we all call him that. But nevertheless, it was really interesting. I think I got basically two key insights or highlights, let's say, from the conference itself. Of course, it's pretty much about Selenium, and for folks that understand or are more acquainted with the Selenium world, everyone was talking about something which is Selenium BiDi, which is essentially the Selenium framework now allowing for everyone to use all of the things that we usually use within regular web browsers, like the network tab or the console or whatever, and all of that being available now to automation in a much more streamlined way. But then the other big highlight for me was Angie Jones' talk, where she was talking about AI agents, and she introduced this very interesting framework to everyone called Goose. And she taught us that there's this new kind of standard that's being adopted everywhere called MCP, Model Context Protocol, which is essentially a standard for, you know, service providers to allow LLMs to be able to use their services. So some examples that you can think of: if you want your LLM to interact with people through Slack, there's an MCP server for that. If you want your LLM to interact with a cloud provider, there are MCP servers for that. If you want it to be able to tap into a database, there's also MCP servers for that. And her talk was really, really good in showcasing how you can use Goose and those sorts of things. And I know that at least myself and the people around me in the audience were all discussing how we wanted to get some time to put our hands to work and try out some new things. So definitely something I advise everyone to check out.
Wow. Yeah, I just recently found this MCP topic and all of these agents. The latest thing that I checked and that I saw is the demo of MCP server used with Playwright. But the thing looks very cool, but personally I didn't found what the essence or usage of it. I mean, in testing, rather than just manipulating browser with this server just by typing plain English, and that's it. So as a technology, it's really interesting, but in automation and engineering, yeah, there are questions on how to do it. Maybe we have somebody who can share their insights on MCP. Maybe you have already used it in the real work. Then it might be very, very interesting. And what was your talk about?
I was speaking about synthetic monitoring. And for folks that are not that acquainted with the term, which is kind of a niche term that comes from the monitoring world, it's basically when you want to inject synthetic traffic or artificial traffic to production so that you can observe it. The best way for you to imagine is you need to know, like, if your app has this sort of traffic usage where during the night no one is actually using the service, and that's just fine because that's just the nature of the business, but still you want to know if everything is working, and usually monitoring tools require you to have traffic in order to check if there are problems or not. So what you do is that you have something that's injecting traffic throughout the day and throughout the night that mimics what users would be doing in a real life scenario. Of course, that a lot of people throughout the world and a lot of organizations have found that one way of accomplishing such a thing is to repurpose automated tests, usually automated UI tests, for this purpose. So instead of just using automated scripts just to test something in specific moments, they will start running those scripts with a fair amount of frequency throughout the day, stimulating this traffic. And my talk was basically around that area, let's say.
Well, it's really interesting and fascinating how to do it. And yeah, I personally did something similar, but on like very small scale, just maybe a few years ago. And yeah, I think the automated test traffic, it's one of the best things, because you can be sure that there is no problem with data, like the user data, during the monitoring, so you are not disclosing something that's related to the clients. But yeah, I think if it will be possible to hear the recording, I would love to check it.
That sounds super interesting. I wanted to just because I had the MCP topic of the server, which I find super interesting because I haven't, what I have seen for test automation, but actually not test automation, is that now Playwright is being advertised massively. So I saw it in the Google webinar, and I saw it, I think, also in an Anthropic webinar as well, as the web scraper. So basically a massive, they're using the Playwright framework and a Playwright MCP server to scrape websites to get information. I saw that and I was like so fascinating how the script flipped from like use Playwright or Selenium for actually testing your website to like, okay, now I'm using it to scrape massive amounts of data automatically over many, many websites. And that was very interesting because we are also looking at how can we use the MCP server for also website scraping for product onboarding, but also for the communication with the Slack server. And it's very fascinating, but I have to say what comes with a bitter, bitter side effect is that the Anthropic, so it is from Anthropic and it's now released since what, a week or so, 2 weeks maybe, it's not been long. His claim was, the CEO, I think his claim was that in 12 months, all code is written by AI because of now the change of MCP and how LLMs can interact. And I am very much arguing that point because I don't believe it's going to happen because I'm using some of them and I also use all these new AI full stack engineer tools to just try it out because I just want to see how far they are. And we also had yesterday quite the interesting conversation between, there was a developer there as well and also AI engineers. If AI, and I think we had that before, will replace us testers. And I put up a very big claim and I still stride strongly, they might replace developers or they reduce developers by half, but I'm very strongly of the opinion that it will not replace testers because as long as the applications are still used by users, you still want to have a human testing it, the feel and how it is, and an AI can just not do that. So that was very interesting. It will be interesting to see how that MCP, and I saw the MCP Selenium server as well, but I haven't tried it out yet. It will be interesting how this is gonna maybe help us in some of these scripts. I'm not sure. Maybe also for test data generation. I'm also not sure. Could be all interesting. This is all developing in an interesting way. But as I always say, AI will only augment us. It will not replace us. I just want to put that in.
Yeah, I think that.
To that point, I was just going to say that I think that this is still a point where I think that the industry is still trying to figure things out. I would personally bet, it's just my personal bet, that the MCP approach is probably going to be crucial for all of these AI agents that are coming. About a year ago, there was this very notable story because there were like these new AI-based startups that were coming up with these devices that were getting a lot of people excited. These AI assistant devices, folks have probably heard of some of them. One of them was called the Rabbit R1. And one thing that we found after a while is that what a Rabbit R1, which was this physical device that you could talk to it, and it would not only answer stuff to you, but it would also try to make to take actions like play something on Spotify or maybe try to book something online for you or something like that. What it was actually doing under the hood in a lot of situations was actually using Playwrights and writing custom code to try to perform those actions. Now, the product wasn't that successful, but it was already showcasing how much we need these AI agents to have proper frameworks to interact with different services. And a lot of times the default is to go through to these automation frameworks that we know so well within the testing world, because they seem like an obvious choice to basically tackle anything that the real live user can also tackle. But I think that in order to get stable and effective integrations between these AI systems and all of the things that you can think of out there that provide services to real users, I think that having a standard like MCP is going to be really important.
Yeah, I agree. The Rabbit one failed very hard. It was super interesting. It got super hyped, but because it was so interesting that the hardware just was not good. But the idea and exactly what you described of the action, it was the first AI who actually can take action and can book stuff. And I read also that it had under the hood Playwright, and it was also, again, so fascinating. But yeah, the hardware failed. The thing itself that got then copied, you could use some emulators then on your own phone to basically exactly have, it should have been an app, and they showed exactly where it goes, and now they have the MCP to go even further, but it would be super interesting. But it's like what you said, so interesting to see that that what we are working with, all of us, since years, and now it's been used for like other things, not how we used to use it, as basically as a vehicle, would be fascinating how all the test automation is going to evolve in this as well, how we're going to be able to use that.
Yes, yes, totally. And I think what we can do to share our all knowledge on, or our interest in this agentic AI or MCP as a technology, we can have a separate thread on Ministry of Testing Club, and we can share videos or blog posts on it there. And maybe our even tools or scripts that we are using with it. Personally, I just this morning read a very, very interesting blog post from SourceGraph. It's called Revenge of Junior Developer. It's really interesting. I shared this link and it will be, I think, available in the show notes. But the thing is, so the author explains what is this agentic AI, what is vibe coding, and what will be the nearest future of any engineer, like that working in IT, in terms of AI. Will it take our job or not take, or how basically it will like change the jobs? And that's the thing. So yeah, just share your links and thoughts in the thread. I think either I or somebody else can create a thread. Yeah, and Demi, what's your thoughts?
I was gonna say that I didn't understand any of that because I haven't started test automation at this point. So, but your explanations are very clear, but I have no way, no idea how to use it, but I think it's very interesting. So I would love that this thread gets started. So when I get to that point, I have some information to find, but I was thinking maybe we can add someone else to this stage to join in the discussion. Yeah. So I have some people waiting. So let's maybe get Diego up on stage and we can continue and see, maybe he wants to join in the discussion. Here we go. Hello Diego, welcome to This Week in Testing. Can you hear us?
We can't hear you. Just
there was some sound, but
let me change the microphone.
Yes, we can hear you. Good. Hi.
Okay, what about now?
Yes, I think yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to drop by to say hi. Wish you all a good afternoon, and in short, thank the Ministry of Testing for all the support that you all provided during the conference. I was happy to see Rosie again, to meet Alexandra. So it was just a pleasure to see you all over there. I mean, the gallery of pictures you took about the event, and you just helped us to reach out more and more people. So I just wanted to come by and say thank you, and please keep doing what you're doing, because it's just going pretty well.
Great. Thanks a lot, Diego. Yeah, maybe you can share what was your favorite talk from Selenium Conf.
Well, one of the things about being the organizer is that you don't have a lot of time to watch the talks. So I only watched two of them, the two keynotes, so Angie and Almudena. So I would say that both were my highlights, not because those were the ones I watched, but basically because the level of expertise that was shared during those keynotes was impressive. And I was very happy to see two women who are rock stars in the testing ecosystem were able to share their knowledge about testing. So Angie was making sound complex topics very simple, like very actionable items. So when she was showing all the things you could do with Goose and the different things, she was also giving you already hints on what you could do next Monday with it at your office. And the next day, Almudena Vivanco, she was just amazing how she was breaking down the evolution of performance testing. And I believe to some extent in the testing ecosystem, we tend to forget slightly about performance testing. So I think she was giving us a good overview of it. So I was very happy to hear good comments about the talks and how people enjoy them. And I was just very happy that I think for the first time we have two women giving keynotes in SelenconF. I don't think it was happening before.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, I would love to attend the conference. I think next year, will it be there in Valencia?
Yeah.
Or
no, we're in the process of deciding. The way I like to frame it is, in the worst case that we don't find another location, we will do it here in Valencia. We're now deciding between a location in North America, which is not the United States, or somewhere in the north of Europe. Usually we do it every other year in India as well, so that's also on the table. So in the next 4 to 6 weeks, we have to decide, because planning a conference it's like having a baby. Like, it takes at least 9 months.
Yes, yes. It takes a lot of work on finding the venue, finding organizers, finding some sponsors, and finding speakers. Yeah, it's huge, huge work. And thank you that you are doing it.
No, absolutely. I mean, it was a lot of fun. It was also a lot of pain, but what I found more energizing is how people were happy during the event, how they connected, how people were sharing new knowledge, how people made new connections. And that was the most grateful thing to see, how people were just enjoying it. Obviously, the venue was a big plus because you have the views and you enjoy every single moment. But the most important thing to me was how people were connecting and how people were giving more energy to the project, because you folks were talking about Playwright and because that's the hype right now. Like, 2 years ago, it was only Cypress we were talking about. But a conference is kind of like the marketing vehicle for Selenium and Appium. We are non-profit projects. We don't have a marketing department. So that's one of the huge differences we have with Cypress and Playwright. So they have actually companies behind those projects. So I was very happy to see how people are still with the project. They support us. And this was just another chance to show how energizing and live the project is.
Yeah, I think the people in the chats are like already sympathizing with you of like doing all those tasks and making the hard decisions. But I can also see all the love they're giving you for organizing this, because I have heard nothing but good things about SeleniumConf so far. So absolutely a job well done. Hoping to someday attend as well. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We plan to do one more. Maybe we will do a small one later in the fall. We're not sure about that yet, but what we're always going to try to do is to keep the prices low, so anyone can attend, and we'll share more updates in the next 2 to 4 weeks.
Would love to hear from you. Yeah. Maybe let's see if we can get some more people on stage, because I have three different people waiting.
Yeah, let's start with Imun.
Yeah, he's been waiting, trying to raise his hand, getting on the stage. Let's see if we can get him. Hey, Eamon.
Hi, Eamon.
How was your week in testing?
It's been pretty good. I was at the London meetup last night, which was super fun. I even did a 99-second talk, which was my first ever time speaking in front of, I guess, any kind of crowd. So that was really fun. Got to see loads of people in person that had been meeting online. People like Christine, who was honestly has like the best energy of anyone I've ever met, I think. it was super fun, and I really love Christine's talk, especially about how to position yourself in the job market, how to really sell yourself and kind of control the narrative of interviews and things like that. Really sell yourself. So yeah, really, really great event last night.
Great, great. And I think that the best thing in any offline meeting is this energy and talking to other people and get an experience not only from the talk but from the like conversations after the talks and after the official part, because that's that where the whole, let's say, the most part of the useful knowledge located in the conversations.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like pretty much, even myself included, every 99-second speaker was saying Christine like influenced their talk. So that just really showed how infectious their energy was, really rubbed off on everyone. And yeah, it was just a really great event. I can't wait for the next one. I'm going to try to go to all of them if I can.
Yeah, and 99-second talk, it's really, I think it's not easy. Even nevertheless, that it's not so much time, like 99 seconds, but it's not easy to prepare the talk, and it's really nice that you just did it.
Yeah, I'm definitely someone that doesn't really like to prepare talks, as ridiculous as that sounds. Like, I might have like a little idea of what I want to say, and I think this time the only thing I really wanted to say was happy birthday to my mum. Everything else was just kind of like on the fly, kind of little things I wanted to talk about, but it wasn't very structured. I just kind of said what came to my mind, and I think I do work well best when I just kind of say things off the top of my head. So I think that really, I think people enjoyed that from what I could see in the crowd. So yeah, thanks again for the Ministry of Testing for giving me that platform. Never thought I'd be able to do stuff like that, but yeah, I did it, and I'll definitely do it again.
Yeah, and beside that, I think there are other possibilities to contribute. Like, it is possible to write blog posts. It is possible to participate in other formats, like 404 talks or talks at offline conferences. So, the only thing that is needed. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, I actually submitted an article to Ministry of Testing. I just got the feedback from the first draft, so I need to work on that. So, I can keep the eyes peeled. That should be coming soon, hopefully.
Great. Great news. I also published one article on Ministry of Testing, and the protest was really good, the feedbacks and so on. So I encourage everybody to, if you want to contribute and to share your ideas or to share something useful, just don't hesitate to contribute. And actually, it is like a special page on Ministry of Testing, like contribute, where you can choose the format, choose the way how we want to do it, and everything else is just a nice and welcoming environment where you find support.
Yeah, Simon dropped the link in the chat about all the ways you can contribute to MOT. So if you want to get more involved, like, there's lots of options to do.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Simon. And we can, I think... it's someone else to this stage. What do you think, Demi?
All the people that raised their hands have disappeared.
Sergio.
We got Sergio. See. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Camera. Oh, it's a record today.
Yeah, I was talking in the conference with at the same time as Leandro. It was the worst because I wanted to join to his talk, but I can't. I show it in later in YouTube.
And what was your talk about?
I was talking about the device farm. It was funny because a lot of companies about device farm was there, but the thing was in our company we can't use the clients the device farm on clients, so we need to buy our device farm, and it was a little bit tricky with they there.
So how big is your device farm?
It's a little one. We have two device farm, one here in Madrid, another in Paris, with five devices in each one, more or less. It's not too much, but it's enough to execute our test. So by now, we can maintain it.
By now. And what was your main, I think, main challenges in creating your device farm? Because it's from the first sight, it looks like it not so hard. Just buy some devices connected to something, and then you will be able to run your tests. But there are a lot of challenges.
You need to deal with the power, for example, because if you have five devices connected with the same USB with a hub, you need a powered hub to maintain the batteries. Another problem is the battery itself. For example, Android devices, when it's too much time connected with the wire, start increasing the battery. So so it's a lot of devices was broke for that reason. You need to buy again. With the connection and trying to maintain the without memory leaks in the host. We always we are learning things. All days we learn something more about maintaining. So it's a good point to work on it, but it's a little bit hard.
Great. And have you built some, or do you have some custom built dashboard for all of the devices, or you use something like open source for it?
Not by now. I want to create something open. I have no time right now. I need to go in 1 month to my paternity leave, so I will have less time. I want to find some time to work on it, to how to maintain, how to decide in which device you want to execute each type of of test, because it's the one of the most common question I receive after the meeting, and I want to find the time.
Yeah, so I think that's the last time I worked with mobile devices, there were some open source tool. I can't remember the correct name, but it was like a tool that can actually show you the whole list of your devices and you can just connect to it and see the the screen of the device in real time. It worked pretty well. I don't know if it's supported by the time. It was like maybe 4 years ago. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, we have, for example, for Android, you have more options. So always you have more options on Android. For example, with Visor, you can display the mobile in desktop. It's open. It's free. And later you can pay for more features, and you can control directly the device from the with your mouse. But with iOS, it's more difficult because you need another Bluetooth device to be controlled to control the iOS. So it's complicated because if you want to do something, you need to the open thing is we have to control the device and do clicks with the mouse is the mm-hmm. Appium Inspector, the tool from Appium directly, and with that tool we can control it. I was talking with the guys in the from Appium, which is Re, and I didn't remember the other guy. They talk in the conference, and it was amazing. And yeah, but only for Android. For iOS, you always have problems, but we need to deal with it.
Yeah. So I think like when you will have some advancement in your device farm or this dashboard that you want to build, I really wish that you will have some time to build it. Then I think it will be next talk that you can share with the audience. Just what?
I don't know. I need to think about it. Diego said the guys from IPM is Diane Rnibansan. Sorry. But the next talk, I don't know. I need to decide if it's like Diego said, it's like 9 months to think about it.
yeah, that's for sure. Good. Thanks a lot for your insights about the conference, and you can still be on stage and share other thoughts and experiences. But we have also one person who wants to be on stage and speak. It's Ben.
Yes. I'm not sure if he wants to share also a bit about the topics or if he just wants to advertise his own upcoming event, but good.
I don't know.
Welcome, Ben.
Hello.
Welcome. How are you doing? Great. And how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, a little of column A and a little of column B, Demi. I definitely want to take the opportunity to plug Software Testing Live, 23rd of April. I would love for you all to go check that out on the Ministry of Testing and join me and Brittany Stewart live for some e-commerce testing. I'm looking forward to it. Got to get that one in. Happy Friday. Blimey, so many cool topics today. It's hard to pick up on all of them. There's something you mentioned earlier in a passing comment, Alexandra, about vibe coding. And I wonder...
Yeah.
If the audience, so this was a term I only heard very, very recently, and I had to go look up what it was. I didn't know what it was. So perhaps for those listening, I just want to mention, I only recently found out what this was. And by the way, vibe coding is where you use an LLM or like AI-based tool to write the code for you. But rather than writing any code for yourself, you completely give over. And basically what you do is you just keep asking more and more times for the LLM. So if it doesn't work the way you want, you don't read the code. You just keep talking back to the LLM. And you just keep, like if there's an error, you just feed it straight back in. No context, just give it the error. But what is this madness? What are people doing? Like, it feels like, you remember when the like autonomous cars first started coming out, where they weren't really autonomous cars? So like, I don't want to say the brand names, but where people were using that feature that should never have been used, and they were just like turning on that autopilot and like having a nap. It's like, what?
Yeah.
What? Well, that's not what this is for. Like, come on.
Yeah. People will always find a way how to use tools not as intended or invented. that's our essence and our psychology. Not for everybody, but yeah, some people, let's call them testers, they will find these things. And yeah, regarding wipe coding, yeah, I also just recently find out what it is, and there are like very different opinions on whether wipe coding is good or bad. I even found some vacancies or job postings in LinkedIn in some companies that are hiring wipe coders. So it just starts to
that's not real. That must be an April Fool's joke, right?
I don't know. I need to check.
I call shenanigans. If you're doing vibe coding, you don't need a developer. And I say that actually that's not true. So for anyone who's wondering, the really fascinating thing as far as I can tell is that vibe coding could really be an interesting way for developers who know exactly what they're doing to be productive, because they know exactly the way and get skilled at asking very, very specific things of the LLMs, that if you're not an experienced programmer, you're not going to know the right things to ask for to get the right results. So it's not about, like, you really have to be very directive to the AI to get what you need. As far as I can tell.
Yes, exactly. And the other thing is, like, non-experienced programmers or automation engineers that working with LLMs, the first thing that they may struggle to ask the right questions, but the second thing is they may struggle with validating the inputs. And that's even the biggest thing, because the output, general output of modern systems, such as AI systems, looks very good. So I was able, in some paid versions, I was able to generate the whole automation project just from few sentences. So it generated like the structure, the configs, all of the things. So you just need to copy paste it, and you can just add tests and run it on CI in just 3 minutes. But the thing is, when you are starting to look through the code and look through the output, you found some hallucination here. I mean, like when this LLM just invents something that is not existent. And so there are a lot of such issues, at least at this point of time or at this point of development of such systems. And like junior engineers or even middle engineers, they can't validate, and they can understand or struggle with understand of what, how to fix it. So it should be like a mix of things. So you can learn with LLM, but you can also should try and do it by yourself without any magic systems. That would be, I think, productive.
Absolutely. And I think it's not a new conversation, right? Like there are people who talk about using tools being something you should only do when you've learned how to do it without tools. There are people who talk about how you shouldn't use frameworks until you know how to use the language. There are people who talk about how you should learn the fundamentals before you learn how to do the program, like you should learn computer science fundamentals. And there are people who say, oh no, you shouldn't use modern GUI IDEs like IntelliJ and Visual Studio Code. You should use only Vim, and only you have to be in the command line the whole time. And while I understand there's a genuine argument to make that people should be curious to learn how things work underneath, I think we've got to be careful to avoid gatekeeping, so that people who can usefully learn the new skills to learn the tools to achieve what they need to achieve are not like punished without consideration for jumping straight to the end. And actually sometimes that can be valid as well. So although I love the fact that for myself, I've managed to have quite a background, like a techie background, to get to where I am. I try not to judge others who have got to the point that they've got to without needing the hard graft that I've gone through. God damn it. It's like, good. I'm glad that they haven't needed to and that they can do useful things now. Actually, that reducing that barrier to entry is a really positive thing. I think if the progression of LLMs and tools based on AI goes in a positive direction, it's all going to be about lowering the barrier to entry. And I'm all for that. Like, that's a good thing if it goes well. When it goes badly, I think we're still going to need those more experienced people with the curiosity and they know how it works underneath to help come in and fix it and improve the product.
Yes. Yes. I think that's the good and good thoughts. Regarding the wipe coding, I just had a thought that in the next software testing live, not in the one that will be in April, but the following one, we can do something like that, like doing wipe testing with LLMs and without any thinking, just providing inputs and outputs to LLMs and try to find out whether such system can test instead of us or not.
I've been doing some vibe testing with the time. And Demi, Alexander, do you want to do a time check, my friends?
Yes, yes. We have a very, very few minutes left, just two or so minutes left. And we had a lot of great conversations today. And do you want to add something in the end as a closing note, Demi?
I was just thinking, like, listening to you guys discussing vibe coding and everything, that I came to the conclusion, as you said, that people are using it not the way as intended, that I'm now completely convinced that a tester was doing this as a test case, and then a junior developer saw this and he was like, oh, that's amazing, and immediately adopted the technique and gave it a name. And that is now my origin story for vibe coding. It was an amazing conversation today. We went so many different directions with so many different people. It was awesome. Absolutely loved it. But yeah, I think the time has come to end this session. So thank you everyone who is listening live, who is listening afterwards to the recording, who joined us on stage, who joined in the chat. We absolutely loved it.
Yes, and see you all in the next week in testing. Bye. Thanks a lot. Yeah.